This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. How many of you remember seeing this little booklet here? Called the Four Spiritual Laws. Seen this? Remember this? We use it in our outreach many times. The first one of those laws says this: God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. Do you know that that's true? First of all, God does love you. Amen? Isn't that good news? That is gospel. God loves us. Praise God. But then it says he offers a wonderful plan for our lives. Do you know God has a plan for your life? You, very specifically, he has a plan for your life. Our mission statement here at Covenant Community Church is equipping people for abundant life. Well, you know what that really works out to? Equipping people for abundant life really just means connecting them in to the plan that God already has for their lives. Because guess what? God's plan is a good plan. Amen? Go over quickly to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's the kind of plan God has for our life. It's not a plan to harm us. It's not a plan for us to just be drudges who get no fun or enjoyment out of life. It's a plan that is to give us hope and a future, fulfillment in life. God wants us, catch this, to have the best life it's possible to have. Do you know who ought to be the most fulfilled people on earth? It's Christians. Because that's God's plan for us. Well, think about this. What's the key to having that plan unfold in your life? I have to tell you something. My observation is, as I look around at Christians and at churches and at church people, a lot of church people don't seem to be enjoying God's plan. A lot of church people seem to be living lives that are not that much different from the lives of the people around about them, and they don't seem to be plugged into God's plan for their life. Well, what is it? What does it take in order to see that plan that's for your good, that's to lead us to the abundant life? What does it take to see that plan unfold in our lives? Go over to Matthew 6:33. You know the key to having God's plan unfold in our lives? Here it is, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, you know how you need to translate that? You need to read that verse and you need to speak this. If I seek God first, his kingdom and his righteousness, then everything I need in life, everything that's even my heart's desire in life, God has promised that he will add that into my life. I think I'll seek God. You want to talk about connecting into God's plan for your life? That good plan that's to give us a hope and a future, the place where it starts is by seeking God first rather than seeking our own agenda. How many of us have some kind of agenda in life? You have some plans, some desires, some things you want to accomplish in life. How many of you have some? You should, amen? You should have an agenda. You should have plans. You shouldn't just be floating through life day by day, whatever happens, happens. No, you should have a plan. You should be going someplace. Amen? The point is not that you don't have a plan of your own. The point is whose plan is subservient to whose plan. What the scripture is telling us is if we're going to enjoy the abundant life that God intends for us to have, if we're going to see his plan work out in our life, then we're going to have to make our plan subservient to his plan. We're going to have to make our agenda subservient to his agenda. Because guess what? God's plan is always good. Amen. How many of you have ever tried working your own plan and it didn't work the way you thought it was going to work? Amen. God's plan always works. And the word we want to use for that plan, God's plan, that specific plan he has for our lives, that's for our good and to give us a hope and a future. That word that we want to use is destiny. God has a destiny for your life. He has planned something for you to do in life, to be in life. And today we want to start looking at how we can reach that destiny that God has planned for us. We're going to start by looking at a man for whom God had planned a wonderful destiny. But he had to overcome many obstacles to keep from being detoured away from his destiny. And that's why our message, and this, in fact, it'll be a series of messages, is called Defeating Detours to Destiny. Because if you're going to receive the destiny that God intends for you to have, if you're going to get there, you're going to have to defeat some detours the devil is going to throw your way. Amen? So let's start. Let's look at David. First of all, David was a young man of destiny. Let me just kind of set the stage for it. The first king of Israel was a man by the name of Saul. And Saul did not continue to obey God. It got to the point where the scripture says God was sorry that he had appointed Saul to be king of Israel. And he said, Saul is not going to be king anymore. He's disobeyed me. I have called forth another king. And who's this king going to be? Well, the Lord sent forth Samuel the prophet and said, I want you to go to Bethlehem. And I'm going to show you who it is that I have called to be the next king of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting with verse 6, the Lord has sent Samuel to Bethlehem. And he went there and he said, I've come to make sacrifice to the Lord. And he said, well, you just call all the people together, call the elders, call especially Jesse. Tell him to come and be part of the sacrifice. And so look what happened in verses 6 and 7. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Eliab was the first of Jesse's sons. And Jesse showed those sons to Samuel. Samuel's looking for the one that God has anointed. Verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Look at verse 10. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Now, when I read that, you know what the thing that struck me is? God had already appointed a marvelous destiny for David. He was going to become the next king of Israel. In fact, the greatest king that Israel ever knew. But catch it, nobody knew that. Least of all, David himself. Look at his situation. He was number 8 of the 8 sons of Jesse. And when Jesse got all of his sons together to come meet the great prophet Samuel, he didn't even bother to call David. He left David out there with the sheep. So in the eyes of his family, David was nothing. His family didn't appreciate anything about him, didn't see anything special about him, but God did. God already knew what was in David. Why? Because God is looking on his heart. All these big guys, these good-looking guys, these strong guys. You know, when I picture Eliab and all the rest of Jesse's sons, in that day they didn't wear suits and so forth, you know. So I picture them with their muscles showing, you know, rippling muscles, like I used to be. Hallelujah. Long time ago, praise God. Rippling muscles with a little sheen of sweat over it to show how good they looked, you know, just looking good. And they came by, and Samuel was impressed. He said, oh man, this has got to be him. This has got to be the one. I've never seen such a good looking guy in all my life. God said, he's not the one. And one by one, they came across. And one by one, God said, it's not him. And Samuel's starting to get confused. Wait a minute. I started with the best looking one. This last one didn't even look too good. Who possibly can be left? And God is saying, there's still one more. And he finally turns to Jesse and says, look, you hiding somebody from me? Bring him on out. You know, we like to put these things in the vernacular. Amen. Bring him on out. And finally, Jesse says, well, look, I do have one more son. He's a little runt out there just keeping the sheep. Brought him in, and God immediately spoke. This is the one that I've put my hand on. This is the one that I've appointed to the destiny. God knew what was in David's heart, and God had pre-planned a great destiny for David. Catch it. One of the things that holds people back from serving God with all their heart is people think they don't have anything worthwhile to offer God. They can't preach. They can't teach. They can't sing. And they feel like, I don't have anything that God can use. Let me tell you something. You are not qualified to decide what you have that God can use. You are not qualified. David had no idea that he had it in him to become king. If you had come to David and said, look, David, God's going to anoint you as the next king of Israel. When Saul is taken off the scene, you're going to be the next king. You know what David would have said? What have you been drinking? It was totally outside of the realm of possibility. But what David didn't see him in himself, God saw, because God put it there. Think about it. If you are somebody who's sitting around thinking about and talking about how much you have to give to God, how much wonderful talent you have, what a great singing voice you have, how wonderfully you can teach, how wonderfully you can preach. If you're somebody who sits there thinking, God, you're lucky to have me, then you've got a problem, amen? The ones that God really can use, the one that God really want to use, are the ones who look at themselves and say, I don't even see very much that God can use in my life. But here's the key difference. They may not see very much in themselves, but still they come and say, God, I don't think I got a lot, but what I've got belongs to you. What I've got is yours. I offer myself to you. And that's the kind of person God's looking for. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. I want you to see how God does this thing. How God calls people unto himself to serve himself. God has a plan for how he does this. He's not just looking for anybody. And he's certainly not just looking for the ones who think that God ought to be looking for them. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Somebody called them mud pots. As far as God looking down, when he sees us, all he sees is mud pots, amen, earthenware. And Paul says, look, we have the treasure God has placed in us, in these earthen vessels. And that's exactly the way God wanted it. Why? Because when God uses us to accomplish something mighty, who's going to get the glory? Whatever it is we do for him, he doesn't want us standing up and taking the credit because we're so talented or we're so good looking or we have such intelligence or whatever it is we think we've got. God wants it to be clear. He chooses people who don't seem to have a lot. Why? Because when they do a lot, he gets the glory, praise God. We need to know that God has placed within each one of us who belongs to Him, each one of us who's a child of God, God has placed within us potential that we have not yet even begun to see. We don't see it ourselves, and many times the people around about us don't see it either. But it's there because God built it into us. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Let me stop right there. For we are His workmanship. Do you know that you are God's workmanship? And somebody put it this way. God don't make no junk. Amen? Isn't that good news? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just as with David, God has appointed each of us to do some specific good works for the kingdom of God. And He planned it all out beforehand. When is beforehand? If you read the first two chapters of Ephesians, you'll see that it's before the foundation of the world. Do you know that God knew who you would be before He ever created this world? Do you know that God foresaw this day, foresaw you sitting here before the foundation of the world? And do you know that down, written down in God's plan is your name? By name, He even knows what your middle name is. Amen? God has you written down in His plan from before the foundation of the world. He knew what your name would be. He knew what your characteristics would be. He knew you would be male or female. He knew you would be black or white or Hispanic or whatever you are. He knew that you would be tall or you would be short, you would be fat or you would be skinny. He knew what kind of singing voice you would have. He knew whether you'd feel comfortable getting up in front of people and sharing a word. The bottom line is, God knew from the beginning exactly how He was going to create you to be. And He made His divine plan for His kingdom and for His life, or for your life, according to the way He was going to create you. You've got a place in God's plan that's fitted just for you. Whoever you are. How many of you have faults, failings, and inabilities in your life? Some of us ought to be going, amen. Guess what? God knew about every one of them when He wrote your name down in His plan. He knew everything you can do. He knew everything you can't do. And He knew the things that you can do that you don't even know you can do. The things that when He develops you to the place He wants to develop you, you will be able to accomplish that you can't even see on the horizon of your life at this point. You have a potential that God has placed in you that nobody has ever seen yet. That's what the example of David shows us. There is a God-given potential in every one of us to become more than anyone around us has ever dreamed of us being. Remember, David's own family couldn't see him as anything but a shepherd. Couldn't see him doing anything but tending a few sheep. God knew that there was a lot more than that in David. I've been hearing this week, now I didn't see it myself, but I've been hearing this week on the radio about American Idol. How many of you have seen that program? Yeah, a lot of you. Okay, American Idol. Now, as I understand it, not having seen it myself, you get people on there who think they are hot stuff until they open their mouths, until they try to sing. Apparently on this show, you get a whole parade of people who think they've got something they don't have. Amen? Guess what? In the kingdom of God, it's just the opposite. Amen? There are no American idols in God's kingdom. We're not people who walk around thinking that we have what we don't have. We're people whom God is revealing to us what we have that we never thought we had. God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves and what nobody else may see. Now, you know where that takes us? How did David learn about what God had placed in his life? How did he learn about that potential? He learned it because the man of God spoke to him. There was nothing in his past, in David's past, that said that he had the potential to be king. And there was nothing in his background that said even if by some miracle he became king, he would be successful at it. There was nothing that told him that he had the characteristics needed to be the king of Israel. There's only one person who knew, and that person is God. And how did God communicate it to David? He communicated it to him by having the man of God speak into his life. David, God has called you. He has placed his hand upon you. And I've come here to anoint you so that you will know the destiny that God has appointed you to. Understand, there are times when God speaks directly to a person and says, I've called you. But there are many more times when God is going to speak to us about what he's placed in us through a man or a woman of God. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Look at how Paul worked into the life of the young man Timothy. Look at this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. How did Timothy find out what God had placed in him? The Apostle Paul came into his life and said, Timothy, there is something in you that God has placed there that you don't see. There's something that's far beyond what you think you can be. Paul had to tell the young man, look, don't be afraid. Don't let people despise your youth. Why? God has given you something that's unique to you. Nobody else has it. And God's going to work through that. So stir it up. Stir it up. Don't let it be pushed down. Don't let other people's opinions hold it down. Don't let your opinion of yourself, of who you are and who you are not, hold it down, Timothy. Stir it up. Why? Because God has used me. He caused me to place my hands on you to show you that you are called of God and there's a destiny that he has appointed you to. Go over to 1 Timothy 4:14. Look at how Paul puts it to Timothy. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Understand, without Paul and the other elders speaking into his life and laying hands on him to show this is God at work right now, Timothy, in your life, confirming the gift that he's placed in you. Without that happening, Timothy probably never would have realized his destiny. He never would have realized what he could be for the kingdom of God. Without Samuel to speak into his life and anoint him for the work God had called him to, David would probably never have become the king of Israel. So here's the bottom line. And I say this with all modesty. You need to listen to the man of God. You need to listen to the man of God. Because God is going to speak into your life through the man of God, through a woman of God, through a mature believer that he has placed in your life. You need to listen. Amen? And guess what? Let me just speak about in terms of our church. There are going to be many times, there have been many times, when I will speak to you about you becoming to a particular place of service in the kingdom of God, and you look at me, and what's in your mind, if it doesn't come off your lips, is, I can't do that. That is way outside my comfort zone. Now, do you know why I come to you and say, this is a place where you need to be. This is something you need to be involved in. This is something that you need to be using what God has given you to help build the kingdom with. Do you know why I came to you? Because I, by the Spirit of God, saw something in you. Believe it or not, y'all, I don't just take a coin and flip it and see whose name comes up. I pray about, Lord, who have you called? Who have you appointed? Who has giftings in them that are as yet undeveloped? But you have a destiny for them. You have appointed them. They're there in your plan. Their name is already written down besides this place of service. And they need to be called forth. They need to be prepared. They need to be trained. They need to be developed. But they don't see it. They're still tending their sheep. Their family doesn't see it. Their family only sees them as sheep tenders. It will never cross their mind until somebody who has been inspired by the Spirit of God to see what's in them comes forth, lays their hands on them, and says, God has given you a destiny. You need to stir up the gift that's in you and rise up to meet the destiny God has given. Can you just imagine what the history of Israel would have been if when Samuel had come to David, David had turned away and said, look, king, me, let me get back to my sheep. I'm comfortable with my sheep. I know I can handle sheep. But me be king? Oh, no. It must be you're looking for somebody else. God has appointed you to a destiny. And he will use men and women of God to call you forth to that destiny. Now, that doesn't mean that people don't make mistakes. Amen? Why? Because it's only God that can look on the heart. Because many times there is an appointed destiny, but catch it, if the heart is not right, that destiny will never be fulfilled. I'm sure that Eliab and the other sons of Jesse had tremendous talents, but they were not part of God's plan of destiny for Israel. Why? Because of the state of their heart. We can't control our talents. You either got a talent or you don't have it. Amen? But guess what? I can control the state of my heart. Brothers and sisters, if you don't remember anything else, you need to remember this. I am a person of destiny. God has a marvelous plan for my life. And if I will just put him and his kingdom and his righteousness first, put his agenda as number one in my life, offer myself to God and say, here am I. Do with me as you will. Use me as you will. God's destiny will be worked out in my life, and I will live the abundant life.